A witness is a proof producer. Because your world is not interested in what you say. They want to see the realm you came from. Because anybody can talk. Talk is cheap. In Acts chapter 1 from verse 1, when Dr. Luke was writing to Theophilus, he made a statement very remarkable. I write unto you concerning the former 3 times. O excellent Theophilus, of all that Jesus both began to do and to teach. It didn't say Jesus began to teach. It said Jesus began to do. So the world wants to see. When you say God is alive, they say, where is he? If you don't have the ability to demonstrate God, no matter how intelligent your message is, it can affect a generation. And so when Paul came into Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 1, he said, I beloved, when I came unto you, even though I'm an orator, you know, Paul went to a city, he spoke. They said, the gods are among us. What kind of utterance is this? He said, even though I'm an orator, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the counsel of God. He said, when I came with the demonstration of spirit and power, because it is that demonstration that will convict them that you are different from a lecturer. It's that demonstration that will convict them that what you are saying is not a product of human intelligence. That what you are saying, there is a backing from the divine realm. Because that backing will now make them know that the world does not constitute all they see. They are invincible fingers that manipulate the civilization of men. And it's on the strength of that reality they see that they can give you attention. If all we have to say are words, then we have a long way to go. When Jesus sent them out, in Mark chapter 16, from verse 17, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, he said, they shall cast out devils. Now, men don't command spirits unless you are working with a superior spirit. And so when you speak and spirits obey you, it means you are not a man. There is something bigger than a man working with you or within you. He said, you will cast out devils. Number 2, he said, they will speak with new tongues. Number 3, he said, if they drink any deadly thing, how can you call something deadly and you say men should drink it? It's not encouraging them to drink, but he said, by any chance, if they drink it, it will hurt men, or because it's deadly. But he said, you, it will have power over you. And he said, they shall tread upon scorpions and serpents, and it shall by no means hurt them. This is the first definition of a witness. It doesn't matter if you were part of them. It doesn't matter if everywhere is dark. Just come with power. When God called Moses, he was in Egypt before. But when Moses returned, it's not his clothes he changed. He wore something else. When he returned to Pharaoh, he wasn't speaking the language of the wise men of Egypt. He came with something that Pharaoh did not know. The hand of God was stretched over the land. Because God himself said in Exodus 14:30, he said, I will stretch forth my hand and I will strike Egypt with all of my signs and my wonders. The language Pharaoh heard was a 10-lettered language, and they are all plagues. He came with plagues, and when Pharaoh saw those plagues, even the magicians of Pharaoh said, this is the finger of God. This man is not talking because he read a book. He's talking from a realm where oracles beyond time dwell. And if we will be wise, we better let them go. And the point came, Pharaoh woke up early in the morning and said, go, pack everything about you. While they were going, Pharaoh changed his mind again. The power had not finished. When he was chasing Moses, the Bible said, the ground began to choke their wheels. Their horses couldn't move. Something happened that nature began to align with the forces of Moses. And when Moses came before the Red Sea, there was no technology of boats. In those days, nobody ever crossed a river. If you meet a river, go back. Go and look for a mountain. Because there was no intelligence by which mortals could walk across waters. And Moses came and stretched his rod. And the Bible said, with the blast of his nostrils, he parted the Red Sea. And he said, Moses and his men walked on dry ground. Pharaoh thought it was coincidence. Ah, he said, by faith, even Moses, he said, walked through the Red Sea. And he said, Pharaoh, as saying that it was a joke, tried to walk and he drowned. He drowned. That became a memorial. And so everywhere Israel went to, there was a tale that these men, any city they enter, they lick the people up because their God is in their midst. A point came that nations began to tremble. When they say Israel is coming, they begin to pack well. Either you cooperate with them or you are in trouble. So much so that Balak needed to hire Balaam to curse them. Because he knew that these people are not just a race. There's a power that dwells in their midst. He ascended the mountain. He wanted to curse them. He tried. He couldn't. There was a power. There was a power. He wanted to curse them. He will start prophesying. He said, how can you curse him that God has blessed? How can you curse? He said, for there is no... Oh my God. Oh my God. You have witnesses. We rise. When they drop charm for you, you woke up, you match it. And then the person who dropped it, they told him after 48 hours he will die. On the third day, you are whistling out of your house. He will kneel down and say, I want to serve your God. He said, there's no enchantment against Jacob. There's no divination against Israel. He said, the shout of the king is in their midst. They didn't know what was happening on the mountain, but the lion dwelt there. There was an oracle that no powers under heaven could defy, because a king dwells in their midst. It takes power to be a witness. If you have no proof, you are not yet a witness. You may be a Christian, but witnesses are men of power. In Acts 14:3, it says, long time abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord. He said, the Lord confirming the words of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. Every time you find witnesses, there are supernatural elements. Those supernatural elements come to validate them, that these ones are ambassadors of another aeon. They came from another age. They are citizens of another civilization. The words they speak, they are oracles of an ancient spirit. And if you assume that what they are saying is English, touch them. He said, touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. He said, when they walked from city to city, God thundered over them. Touch not. Touch not. These are witnesses. Oh. My heart is burdened. Because I want to see the powers of the ancients. What happened to us that no man can speak again and the son will obey? What happened? What happened? How did Moses part the Red Sea? What happened? What happened? That a man can walk into the strongest civilization of his time. You don't dare Pharaoh. Pharaoh was called a god. He's a sun god. You don't appear before Pharaoh. You are in trouble. But a man came with his staff and said, let my people go that they may serve me. And one man can destroy a whole civilization. There was an economic system. There was a military system. The architectures of human intelligence were there. But it came with a power that had no regard for human protocol. What happened to us? No wonder David cried. He said, I want to see your glory as I saw it in the tabernacle. There's something we must hunger for. It's the power of the ages to come. We are naked without power. We didn't come here to talk. We came here to show a dying world that there's a God called Alpha Omega. He was, he is, and he is to come. We came here to tell the world that we don't depend on the government formed by men. Rather, he said the government shall be upon his shoulder. We came here to announce to a world that there is something that is eternal that we carry on our shoulders. Because when we cry, spirits move. Ha! Hey, ha! Ha, ha, ha!